Everyone, our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to 37. Luke 17, verses 20 to 37, and it's headed "The Coming of the Kingdom of God." Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Men will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running off after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the roof of his house with his goods inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left." "Where, Lord?" they asked. He replied, "Where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather."
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. My name is James. If we haven't met, I'm one of the staff members here. Before we get into Luke 17, let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you tell us the truth about how things are and how things will be. Please would you give us ears to listen to what your Son has to say about the kingdom this morning. Father, please encourage us where we need encouraging, and challenge us where we need challenge. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been thinking already about getting ready this morning. I wonder, have you ever had that not ready dream? For me, when I was a teacher, I used to have it all the time. Maybe you can relate to it. So I'd go into the classroom, I'd have to teach a lesson, maybe senior leadership would turn up, and I'd just not be ready. I'd have nothing to say. A room full of people with nothing to say. All eyes on me. And I bet you had similar dreams, maybe about preparing for exams or I'm preparing for a work presentation, or I don't know what it would be, but it's a horrible feeling, isn't it? Not being ready for something. There's that saying, if you fail to prepare, then you are preparing to fail. And my friends used to laugh at me at school when I used to say that, but it's true, isn't it? It's great to be prepared for a situation. It's horrible to not be prepared. It's one of the worst feelings in life, I think. Getting ready is the wise thing to do. Being unprepared is absolutely horrible. It's partly why we bought so much loo roll and pasta back in March, isn't it? We wanted to be prepared for the eventuality that would occur. And I don't know, maybe some Italian food festival, and I don't know what we'd need the toilet roll for, but we needed to be ready for whatever eventuality. And Christmas, yes, Dave is right, it's only 61 days away. And I know some of your hearts started beating a little bit faster when Dave mentioned that, because we want to be ready. We want to get the presents that we need. We want to get the food that we need to get. Preparing on the day itself will be too late. It needs to happen before that. We spend loads of brain space and time getting ready for things that don't actually matter too much if we're not ready for them. And wouldn't it be a tragedy if we were totally unprepared for the most significant event in human history? We're in a section of Luke this morning. A lot of people are wondering about the kingdom of God. Jesus has been talking about the kingdom of God his whole ministry. God had promised this day where his people, when his chosen king would rule decisively, where he'd get rid of everything that was wrong with the world and bring full restoration. And Jesus preached loads about it. He said, the kingdom of God is here, like the time is fulfilled. But at this point, he's on his way to Jerusalem. And he's not going there to kick out the Romans and to sit on his throne. No, he keeps saying he's going there to die. Which, to be fair, if you're expecting a revolution, that's not going to instill you with much confidence. So Jesus has to manage expectations, and he's helping them to prepare for his kingdom. There will be nothing worse when Jesus' kingdom comes than being unprepared for that day. We need to recognize it now. We need to wait patiently for it to come. We need to stay ready for welcoming. So as we get into Luke 17, please do keep your Bibles open. We'll be starting at verse 20. More important than being exam ready or Christmas ready, it's how to be kingdom ready. How to be kingdom ready. Firstly, we need to be ready to recognize the kingdom now. We need to be ready to recognize the kingdom now. And that's verses 20 and 21. The Pharisees have asked Jesus about the timing of the kingdom of God. Like, when's the kingdom getting here, Jesus? They expect they'd be able to see some pretty impressive signs that the kingdom was about to come. Maybe signs in the sky or armies gathering for revolution. But they couldn't see any of those stuff. But Jesus corrects them. Jesus says, the coming of the kingdom is not the kind of thing that you can watch. You see in verse 20, at the end of verse 20 there. It's not the kind of thing you need a time and location for, because the kingdom of God, as he says at the end of verse 21, the kingdom of God is in your midst. And that doesn't mean the Pharisees are in the kingdom of God. It's not saying you guys are the kingdom of God. He means the kingdom of God is unfolding in front of your eyes. Jesus' whole ministry, he's been saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. And you only had to look at Jesus' miracles to see that he wasn't lying. Like, everywhere Jesus went, blind people were being healed. Like, he was restoring disabilities. He was cleansing the infectious. He was making the deaf hear. He was raising dead people to life, challenging hypocrisy, preaching forgiveness and mercy to the desperately guilty. If that's not restoration, I'm not sure what is. Every single miracle announced that his reign, the reign of sin and death was over, that Satan's days were numbered, and the kingdom of God had arrived because the king had arrived. But they missed it. It was all right there in front of their eyes. They'd seen it, they'd witnessed what Jesus was doing, but they just couldn't see it for what it was. They're like a guy standing next to Big Ben, head in a map, asking for directions to London. Like, it's right there. You just need to look up. They don't need to go somewhere. They don't need to wait for something to happen. They just need to see who Jesus is and what he's doing now. But the Pharisees already made up their mind. They refused to accept Jesus as king and refused to enter the kingdom. And we saw a few weeks ago, just in the passage before with the 10 men healed from leprosy, they should have been most able to spot it. The people who most should have been most ready for Jesus as king, they didn't spot it. They weren't ready. They wanted a king who met their expectations, who did what they thought that he should do, who served their agenda, but they couldn't see anything else. The king has arrived, but we don't always see what he's doing, do we? God's kingdom has arrived, and his rule and restoration is breaking in here and now, but we don't always spot it. We rightfully desire for things to be made right. And we look around at this world, and there's so much that is broken, so much that is wrong with it. We long to see justice and peace, and we long to see an end to sickness and disease and a transformation of our own hearts. Even if you're not a Christian, you probably have a sense that the world isn't right, and that if there is a God, he should be doing something to make it right. But if God's not doing the things that we think he should be doing, then we just miss it. We can miss what he is doing. Those in our home group will be familiar with this site. This is part of the hallway in our house. It looks like a bit of modern art. It's not. It's just our hallway. It's been like that for nearly 2 years. And we wanted to renovate our hallway, but we hadn't found the right color. So we tried lots of different test patches of paint, and they just weren't right. Too green or too brown or too cold. But let me show you our brand new hallway, transformed hallway. Well, it's not all of it. It's the beginning of it anyway. And we found a color, and it's on just one little part of our wall. It's called cornflower blue, if anyone's interested. It's just there. You're wondering which bit is the new bit. It's just there. And that part of a wall is a real taste of what the whole hallway is going to look like sometime soon. Soon the whole hallway will look just like this little patch, hopefully a bit less bumpy. But still, the whole hallway will be transformed. And it's like that with Jesus' kingdom. A London pastor, Andrew Satch, says that when we see Jesus' miracles, we see like a test patch of the kingdom of God. It's not everything the kingdom will be, but it is a real taste of what the kingdom will be right here, right now. And Jesus doesn't walk the earth today, but still we see that test patch of the kingdom in the lives of God's people. We still see God rolling back the reign of sin and death as people turn to Jesus away from their sin. Eyes and ears are being opened to the truth of who Jesus is. People are being rescued from addiction. Marriages are being restored. People are finding purpose and meaning. Self-centered people are becoming other-centered servants. And the good news of Jesus is coming alive in every single people group and culture in the planet. Everywhere, Jesus' people are helping to paint the kingdom colors on this old world. And the kingdom of God has begun now, right now. God is making everything new, and he's starting with one little corner of the creation. And he's starting here with you and with me as we come to know and trust in the Lord Jesus. Now, let's not look around in despair at what God isn't doing yet. Let's see what and marvel what God is doing now. He is at work. But it's not only about recognizing what God is up to. There is a future aspect to it as well. Secondly, we need to be ready to wait for the kingdom to come. It's not just the Pharisees who need their expectations realigning. It's the disciples as well. Jesus says to the disciples, there will be a time, he says it in verse 22, there will be a time when they will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but won't see it. In Daniel 7, Daniel prophesies of a human being, a Son of Man, who God gives authority to reign over all of creation forever. And Jesus uses this title of himself. He's that king, he's that man who God will give authority to reign forever. And Jesus is not talking about the disciples longing for Jesus, like back in the day when Jesus was still here, and when he says, you'll long for the days of the Son of Man. No, he's talking about them longing to see his reign everywhere. They long for the day when Jesus will come back and when he will clearly rule over everything. They'll long to see it happen. They'll long to see Jesus come and take the kingdom colors and paint them all over the cosmos, but they won't see it yet. And that will leave them vulnerable to being confused and to being led astray into looking in wrong places. But just like the Pharisees, they don't need to go on a search. They don't need to go anywhere because Jesus will come back like lightning. I love a good lightning storm. I don't know about you. And we do that weird thing, don't we? We say, when lightning's happening, we say, oh, did you see the lightning? Did you see the lightning? Oh, there it is again. Which is really weird because everybody sees lightning when lightning's happening, but we say it anyway. just because it's exciting. Everybody sees it. I could be in Wollaton, you could be in Beeston, and we'd both see the lightning. In fact, you could be hundreds of miles away. You could be in Carlisle or Cardiff or in Coventry, and you'd still see lightning in Beeston. That's what lightning's like. You don't need to go anywhere. Everybody sees lightning when lightning strikes. Nobody is going to miss Jesus' return when he comes back. Everybody is going to see it. You don't have to wait for the story to break in the news. You don't have to wait till the Netflix documentary comes out. You don't have to wait for it to start trending on Twitter. This event is going to be so big, so world-changing. Nobody will be able to miss it, no matter what part of the planet you're on, no matter where you are or what you're doing. Every single person will know when Jesus comes back. And it may seem like a really weird thing that Jesus has to warn people not to follow these false claims. But over the years, there have been so many people, and I've done a Google search this week, and so many people, so many groups who have claimed that Jesus has come back, and people have followed them, and people have gone with them. And people from every country, people in England, in the Philippines, in Nigeria, in Ireland, Brazil, everywhere. Most famously, one of the more famous ones you would have heard about, Rastafarians claim that Ethiopian King Haile Selassie was the second return of Jesus. Even right now, in China, there's a group called Eastern Lightning who claims that Jesus has returned as a Chinese lady. She's hiding out in New York at the moment. There are 4 million followers in China alone and others elsewhere in the world. Like, these things really do happen. And we don't have to wonder about whether they're legit or not. We don't have to ask those questions. Jesus says, like, when Jesus returns, we will know. It will be obvious to every single person on the face of the planet. But I suspect that most of us aren't tempted to wander after these groups. But where do we need to be reminded to wait patiently for Jesus' return? Well, I think there's a more subtle temptation for us, is to think that the restoration of everything will happen in a way other than by means of Jesus' return. So to be clear, your favorite political party, no matter how good they are, isn't going to get it done. They're not going to get the restoration of all things done. No leader or movement or organization is going to bring the total heart to heavens transformation that we need. Naming climate change won't do it. Creating new laws or returning back to old laws is not going to do it. Better education is not going to do it. Technological advance is not going to do it. Finding a cure for cancer or COVID, as beautiful as that would be, that's not going to do it. There is true progress to be made here on earth. But nothing short of Jesus' return is going to fix everything. But don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There is so much good work to be done now. Like, so much that Christians should be involved in. We should be involved in culture at every level, painting the colors of the kingdom into politics, in schools, on the wards, in our workplaces, on our streets. There is lots to be get involved in, and do get involved. Really get involved. But we do this all to push back the darkness and to bring the values of the kingdom into the present. But our ultimate hope is not that we make some kind of heaven on earth, but we await the day when heaven comes to earth. Do not settle for less than that. Let's long for the days of the Son of Man. Let's long for the day when Jesus returns and fixes everything. We've seen that the kingdom of God is here now. And so we need to be ready to recognize the kingdom now. And we see that the kingdom of God is not yet here fully. So we need to be ready to wait for the kingdom to come. And now we see we need to make sure we're ready for that day. We need to be ready to welcome the king, our third point. And in the rest of this section from verse 26 to 37, Jesus has three things he wants us to know about the day when he comes back so that we can be ready. And given what we've talked about so far, it can be a bit of a shock, actually, the way Jesus speaks about his day when he returns. Firstly, it's going to be a day of sudden destruction. It's going to be a day of sudden destruction. It'll be just like the days of Noah or the days of Lot. People will be completely unprepared. Look at verse 27. Jesus says, in the days of Noah, people were eating and drinking, marrying and being given up in marriage, to the day that Noah entered the ark, and then the flood came and destroyed them all. People were in the middle of doing really ordinary things. They were eating their cornflakes, they were putting the kettle on, getting their wedding dresses on, not ready, and then the first drops fell. Similarly, in Lot's day, people were eating and drinking, verse 28, buying and selling, planting and building, but then the Lot left Sodom, and fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. They were out doing their gardening. They were browsing in the dairy section at Lidl. They were painting their hallways and not ready. And then the first embers fell. When Jesus comes back, it will be the most ordinary looking day. Like you might be emptying your dishwasher or sorting out your MOT or doing coursework or watching Netflix or playing five-a-side or cooking dinner or browsing Instagram. And like that, Jesus will return. There will be no warning or gradual build-up. No time then to sort yourself out. If we're not ready for Jesus' return the second before he comes, the next second will be too late. And it will mean destruction for those who are unprepared, just like it did in the days of Noah, just like it did in the days of Lot. But the answer is not to live constantly in a state of fear. No, the answer is to get ready. Just like you prepare for exams, just like you prepare for Christmas, make sure you're ready for the day that Jesus returns. Secondly, it'll be a day of revealing responses. That day we will cling to what we really love, whether it's Jesus or other things. Look at verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Do you remember, we looked at a few weeks ago, the story of the destruction of Sodom. Lot's family had been warned that God was going to destroy the city, but Lot's family were pretty reluctant to go. In fact, angels had to literally drag them out of the city just in time for them to escape. But Lot's eyes were still on Sodom. In fact, more importantly, her heart was still in Sodom. She lingered and got caught up in the judgment. Jesus says, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever tries who loses their life will preserve it. That day is going to reveal what we love for us too. On that day, we'll have to leave behind whatever achievements we are in the middle of trying to accomplish. On that day, you will have to leave behind all those possessions that we are trying to acquire. If Jesus comes back and we're torn, we're looking back at what's about to be destroyed, more concerned about what we must leave behind than we are about welcoming, then we are too in love with this world, too in love with the things of this world. What do you love so much that you couldn't bear to leave it behind? What do you think? I really hope Jesus doesn't come back so that I get to experience this thing, achieve this thing, get to do this thing. I think that our temptation as Christians here, maybe on this side of the world, that we do really want Jesus to come back and fix everything, wanting to fix the world, but not until we have a bit more of a taste of this world first. Jesus says, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life will preserve it. Thirdly, it's a day of permanent separation. I guess we can see throughout this whole teaching of Jesus, we can see that the day looks different depending on whether people are ready or not. For Noah, that day was a day of rescue. For his neighbors, it was a day of destruction. For Lot and his daughters, it was a day of rescue. For the people of Sodom, it was a day of destruction. And it will be like that when Jesus comes. Some will be rescued. We see it there in verse 34. Jesus says that on that day, there'll be two neighbors working, one taken to salvation, one left to face judgment. Tragically, there'll be marital beds where one is taken for salvation and one is left to judgment. No plus ones. It could be in the middle of a service like this, And some will be taken, and some will be left to face judgment. And on that day, your fate will not depend on whether your spouse or your parents or your siblings were Christians, whether you had Christian friends or neighbors or housemates. On that day, it will be, did you prepare for Jesus' return? Did you respond to the King when you had the chance? Are you ready? I'm really not worried about whether you're ready for the presentation tomorrow at work or whether you're ready for Christmas in 61 days' time. The most important question is, are you ready for the coming of Jesus? When it happens, there will be no time to prepare. It will not be the time then to make up your mind. If you're waiting for a PR campaign so you can deliberate about whether you want to stand with Jesus or not, this is the closest thing you're going to get. The time for decision is now. If you're someone who has been biding your time and putting off a response to Jesus until a more convenient time, maybe you think, I want to tick off some things on my bucket list before I get serious with God. That time is not guaranteed. That time is right now. It should be right now. Jesus will return one day, and whether that's a good day or a day of complete disaster for us will depend on whether we're ready or not for it. How did Noah get ready? How did Lot get ready? Did they earn it? No, they didn't earn it. They just responded to the rescue provided. And that doesn't mean you need to build a boat, or it doesn't mean you need angels to drag you off. The question is, have you responded with faith to what you've heard about Jesus? Stop being content to tag along with those who know him, or attend a church where he is taught, but trust in him for yourself, and do it today. Truly, it's amazing that any of us could be rescued on that day. Soon Jesus will come to judge, but first King Jesus came to lay his life down. Look at verse 25, what Jesus has to say there. Jesus says that before judgment happens, he must suffer and be rejected by this generation. He must suffer and he must die. He must. Jesus coming to rule and restore without him coming to rescue would be an absolute disaster for all of us. All of us have lived trying to throw off God's rule. Like in Noah's day, we're just like them, we're corrupt. We're just like the people in Lot's day. None of us could be, none of us are right with God on our own. But Jesus, in his mercy, has died to take the flood of God's judgment on your behalf. There is no need for you to face that day as a day of judgment. No need. Jesus has already given his life, taken the judgment that we deserve, so that we could be confidently kingdom ready. Brothers and sisters, if you know Jesus Christ, if you are trusting in him, there will be no judgment on that day. Like, not a drop, only rescue. As Jesus says later in Luke, on that day, if you belong to Christ, then you can stand up straight and lift up your head because your day of redemption is drawing near. Your King will come and he will make everything right. Everything you are longing for will be fulfilled. Everything God has promised, he will keep. Don't we long for that day when the King will come back and paint the whole creation, the whole cosmos, with the colors of the kingdom? Can you recognize that kingdom now? Are you waiting for the kingdom to come? Will you look forward to welcoming him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are a God who keeps your promises. Father, we are desperate to see this world made new. We pray that you would do it. We pray that the Lord Jesus would come back soon. But Father, we are conscious of those who are not yet ready. We're conscious of friends and family who are not yet ready. We pray, Lord, that in your mercy, Lord, you would enable them to trust in what the Lord Jesus done, has done to make us ready. That they would trust in his death and resurrection. For those who are maybe even listening now who want to be ready for that day, Lord, help them to trust in the Lord Jesus. For us who are already trusting, Lord, help us to look forward to that day, to long for Jesus. Help us not to get comfortable, to love this world too much. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. To finish, we're gonna